Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And if you noticed in your bulletin today, there is a pamphlet from, or an insert from Life Outreach for the Sanctity of Life. And Judy and I had the opportunity with actually a few of these members that were there. It's nice to see them there, to go down to the Life Outreach benefit that was this fall. And one of the things that really struck me very strongly about them is they were very, and I know it's going to sound stupid to say this, but they were very Christian. I was just kind of like blown away the emphasis put on the gospel message in that whole group, and I really was moved by that. And so I think they're a good organization myself, but it doesn't matter what I think, but they are there for the sanctity of life, and they're not thinking there's a black and white cause that, you know, no matter what, they have actually, I think they have things to offer all sides, and they're very understanding in a lot of things. So I think it's a really strong group and a good group from what I've seen so far. And we've been helping them for quite a few years here at Zion. So, but anyways, don't forget to bring that home. Read that. Every life is precious. And I think about it very, very awesomely when I think of little Maverick when he comes here with all his little hair on his head and stuff, and we're just excited to see babies. And so anyways, you know, just know every life is valuable. Obviously, you know that. But anyways, our sermon text for this Sunday, second Sunday of Epiphany? Yeah, second Sunday of Epiphany. It's from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to read verses 1 through 11. You can remain seated for this epistle writing. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to begin from verse 1, reading in Jesus' name. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but the same God. Do you see the Trinity in there? The Spirit, the Lord, and God, who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and another an utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, and another faith by the Spirit, to another gifts of healing by one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, and to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another a variety of various kinds of tongues, and to interpret of tongues. All these are empowered by one, the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Father, this is your word that is before us. We ask by the power of your Spirit that you would speak truth and that men in flesh would be silent. We ask that you would sanctify us in the truth because, Father, your word is truth. We ask it in his name. Amen. So Paul is writing to Corinth, and oftentimes we turn around in our life and we look at different parts of our nation, and we might look to Chicago, we might look to LA, we might look out to Seattle or some other place, or in my home area, Manchester, New Hampshire can get kind of dicey, you know, not to just pick on that. Or we turn around and we talk about the UP here, and we might have different areas that we put different labels on certain areas. That's just what we do. But sometimes we have to understand that it doesn't take a certain area for sin to be prominent, for ill living to become prominent. It really has a lot more to do with the personalities. There may be more available. There's no doubt about that. You can go to Vegas and you can find things that you probably wouldn't find in Marquette. But what Paul is writing to is Corinth, where they were very much of a pagan area. They believed in so many different gods and so many different beliefs kind of spilled over into that area. And so I guess it would be considered kind of like the Vegas of our time. And a lot of people had a lot of difficulty with that, but Paul is trying to encourage them as believers. And really, I think that's the first thing that we can come from in this, is that we have the opportunity to share the gospel no matter where we are. Sometimes, you know, we could turn around and think, well, why bother? Are they going to listen? It's not our decision. We are to spread the seed wherever we are and allow God, by the power of His Spirit, to bring the increase. And so Paul is kind of really starting to bring this home to them. He understands where they come from, but he's encouraging them to go beyond this. And now today, he's bringing to us this understanding of what we call spiritual gifts. Gifts in like the King James or maybe your version, it'll be italicized. That basically means they added it in there. I know, I've had people tell me King James, you know, they italicize it for emphasis. No, that's not why they're doing it. They're being very honest. They're telling you, to bring more clarity to the text, they add the word in there. And it's not a rip on anything. That's the fact. So really what Paul is saying here, more or less, he says, now concerning spirituals. In other words, dealing with the spiritual part of our life. He says, I want you not to be uninformed. He says, don't be blinded. Listen, hear me. Sometimes we become afraid of spiritual things. You know, in other words, we don't want to become, say, as we call a Pentecostal or something like that. So we get nervous. But we don't have to abandon the working of the Holy Spirit because some people have taken it too far. You know, our God is a God of order. Our God is a God of, I want to say, of, he's not radical. Like in the form of, we watch some of the videos when you go on, you can't go on TikTok anymore, but maybe Monday you can. But the fact of it is, when you go through some of these apps and you watch videos, you can see people like in church services like flopping on the ground and doing all kinds of stuff like that. Actually, God gives us a spirit of control. To me, that's kind of weird stuff. You know, we should be able to have discernment as believers, and we should have control, you know, and so it's kind of an interesting thing. We don't want to go too far, so therefore sometimes I feel we can abandon the working of the Spirit altogether. But actually, in the book of Acts, it tells us to pray all the more for the coming of the Spirit. That we actually would be encouraged by seeing God's Spirit working in our lives. And it was interesting, we had a nice gathering at Sister Norma's for Arvo's 89th birthday. And I thought Arvo was, he said 86 at the party, and then you put 89, and I was like, I had to ask Anita, which one is he? And he's 89. Wow, is he doing well. But one of the things that I noticed with Arvo is, you know, he's getting mature in years, but yet he really is praising God for each and every moment. And it was awesome to see, because he really wanted us to see, he'd always say, just think of it, or just look at it. That God is working. And that's something that I think we as younger people can get so busy, we can forget to see God in operation all around us. That each and every day is a blessing from His hands. To be able to have what we call, wow, a coincidence is actually the hand of God bringing us closer and closer to Him. And so I loved seeing that excitement in Arvo's eyes. And not to pick on Arvo, because he's not here today, but really, it was an encouragement to me that the longer we live upon this earth, we see the handiwork of God. And so Paul is saying, I don't want you to be blind. I don't want you to be ignorant about the spiritual things of God. That's really what he's talking about here. He says, I don't want you to be uninformed. He says, you know that when you were pagans, you were led astray. He says, in King James, it says, by dumb idols. It doesn't mean stupid. It means unspeaking, unable to talk, cannot communicate. We know our God communicates. He communicates through his written word. He communicates through the Spirit by that written word. He communicates through the preaching of his word, through the body of Christ. There's many different ways that God in reality can communicate with us. He is not a silent idol. He is a living God. And we worship a living Christ who sits at the right hand of God the Father to make intercession for each and every one of us. We are of all people most blessed because we have this encouragement. He says, you know, when you are unbelievers, you used to look to foolish things. And it's like sometimes Jesse in his humanness looks to foolish things. I can often look to money. What's money really going to do for me? All the money in the world isn't doing anything for the fires in California. It's the largest economy in the United States, and yet they don't have water. And I'm not making fun of them. That's dire. It's terrible. But I was watching a video of a mother with two children trying to leave her area and trying to get out of her housing development, and they were just being totally encompassed by fire. And she got out. Because the whole time you can hear her audibly praying, Lord Jesus, please protect us. Lord Jesus, please bring us through. Lord Jesus, please allow that fire to halt. And she made it through. We do not serve a silent God. We serve a living God who desires to have fellowship with us. He desires it so well that he actually sent his only begotten Son into this world. He says, you understand when you were an unbeliever, you followed these foolish idols. He says, however you were led, this is what you used to do. He says, but now on account of this, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. This is kind of an interesting thing. You know? So what he's saying here is someone that is in faith, someone that is believing, cannot really turn around and say Jesus hates me or Jesus is hated or Jesus is bad or Jesus is left out. He says, this is really not what you're going to say. You're going to bring honor and glory to him. You're going to praise him. You're going to speak well of him. Understand what he says there. If you're in the Spirit. And it's kind of interesting because then he continues on with this, and I'm going to answer this a little more, but I want you to hear both sides of it. He's saying, if you're in the Spirit of God, you in reality will not come out and say Jesus is accursed. He says, and in no way can one say Jesus is Lord except he's in the Holy Spirit. And people kind of laugh at this. They're like, of course they can. I just said in my reading. And so we take this on a superficial level, and really what he's talking here is about spiritual matters. What does Jesus say when the Holy Spirit comes? What will it do? When he sends the helper and the helper comes to you, what does the scripture say? He says, he will testify of me. And this is what he's saying. The revelation of Jesus Christ and who he is by the power of the Spirit, by grace through faith. He's saying, you can't turn around and say straight out that, well, you know, and not believe and say, well, Jesus is Lord. We can say words. We could turn around and look at somebody we don't like because we're in a public setting and say, boy, I love you. Doesn't mean it's right to do that. But we can say words. But when we truly love somebody, say motivated by love, earthly carnal love, right? We still can't help ourselves. We'll tell them we love them no matter what, when we truly do. We could fake it till we make it. But when we love somebody, we see that action take over. And what he's saying here, very straightforward, is when one believes and receives of the Spirit, they proclaim it. Because that's the Spirit's job in our life, to testify of the coming of Jesus Christ. Example of this, Apostle Paul himself. He was walking along in one of the cities, and this lady came along, and she started praising Jesus, started praising Paul. And what did he do? He rebuked the spirit, evil spirit within her. God gave him the insight to understand that she was not found in the Holy Spirit. She was mimicking what she had seen. The adversary can mimic things. But God in reality, you know, is the one to infuse this grace into our hearts that we would believe. And in believing, we proclaim in truth. It's not just words. That's what I'm trying to get to. It's not just, okay, we all kind of, maybe you all don't go through this, but I've been through this. I could treat my wife like dirt all day long and then come home and say, but I love you. Words aren't enough. It's not just words. There is action that is taking place in this words or in this love. And many of us have had those arguments as married people. Well, I told you I loved you when we first got married. And if I change my mind, I'll let you know. It's not enough. What Paul's saying here is, he's not debating whether someone can voice a word. He's saying by the power of the Spirit, it's ingrained in them. It becomes part of them. He says, they proclaim and they rejoice because the Spirit will testify of Christ Jesus. He says, and we understand there are many different varieties of gifts. And this is difficult for, I think, for us as human beings. I happen to be a pastor, and I happen to like to preach and do the pastorly things, right? So I think everybody should preach. Or maybe your gift is singing. You might have a great singing voice. You might really feel close and connected when you sing the hymns or sing the praise to God. So you think everybody should enjoy this. We have a tendency as human beings, when we find ourselves drawn to something, to think everybody else should do it. And they should do it exactly how I do it. But the body is very diverse. And I'm talking about the Christian body. And I'm thankful for that. Because, you know, I don't know much about that stuff up there, all the electronics. But there are people that do it. And they encourage the body. I don't have a great singing voice. I don't know music. I don't pretend to know music. I love music. I do. I love listening to music. There's many nights I go to bed just listening to music. But it doesn't make me a musician. But boy, am I thankful for those individuals that have those gifts. And what I'm saying is, these gifts really allow us to be better. As a body, God gives us these gifts within the body. It's like if I was owning a construction company. I mean, I don't want every single one of my guys on a construction company, if I build from foundation up, to be just a good drywaller. I'm gonna need a good framer. I'm gonna need a good electrician. I'm gonna need a good plumber. I probably need somebody better than me running the site equipment, because I'd have basements everywhere and no driveway. The reality of it is what he's saying here is, there's a variety of gifts, but it is under the same Spirit. Each and every one of us has something that God has gifted us with, and it all comes from him, and it's all for the betterment of the congregation. Do we see that? Do we know that? Now, not only the congregation, but now as believers in Christ entering into this world, we also now make the world a better place. And so he says, now, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are a variety of service, but the same Lord. So we all have different ways of serving. But is any less important? Sometimes I think we think they are. Can you imagine if our plow guy never came here to plow? How would we get in? Seems like a minor thing, but when there's 4 feet of snow out there and we want church and the sun's out, it would get very irritating if we couldn't even drive in. I don't know how many of us would try trudging across the parking lot. Oh, I get the glory, right? Because I stand up here and I preach or I do Bible studies. But you know what? God has gifted us with others. We have others that do Bible studies too. How valuable is the Sunday school teacher? They have gifts. Do we appreciate what God has given to us? Do we understand He has blessed us with all of these things so that we could come together and serve Him? So we bring it all the way down to, I always go here, but I always think about it quite often, the janitor. A lot of us don't appreciate a janitor until it's not being cleaned. And then, boy, we notice. And I'm not saying that to be radical or to pick on anybody. It's the reality of it. That gift of serving the church is extremely important. That's what he brings in another part of the Gospels, right? When he talks, and he talks about the many different gifts in the scripture. It speaks about of us, you know, our eye can't turn around and look at another member in our body and say, you're not important. We're all important. Everything is important. That's just the reality. Do you know how many times, and this is weird, but how many times I've gone as a pastor to a hospital room and I've prayed that people can go to the bathroom? You may not think that's an important thing, but when you can't go, it becomes very, very important. And I literally, in the beginning of my ministry, you think, why is this so important? And then when you go through chemo, you go through cancer, you go through all this stuff, you realize, oh, this is really important. How many of you take sleep for granted? Last night I was up till about 2 in the morning. I couldn't sleep. Nothing bugging me. Just couldn't sleep. Boy, I take it for granted. And so many different gifts. So this is what he really comes out. He says there's many different gifts, many ways to serve. He says the gifts are really from spirit. He says the service is from the Lord, and that shows that action, because really that's what Jesus was. He was God in action upon this earth. And we had him as an example. We have him as an example for us to do. And he says, and there are a variety of activities, but the same God who empowers them all and everyone. God has given us this outlet that we would be able to serve him in many different capacities. Do you appreciate your spouse? Do you appreciate your children? I didn't appreciate my children enough when I was younger, when my kids were all at home. I have huge maple trees in my yard. And, you know, they used to rake up them leaves all the time. They don't come rake them anymore. It's a very carnal thing, isn't it? Well, how often do we take for granted the gifts? The ability for others to help. How often do we take for granted, say, the pastor, the janitor, the singers, the board members, the preachers that step up when pastor can't be here? How often do we take for granted the maintenance people? Our wife, our children, the Spirit, the Savior, or our Father. If we will be faithful in little things, He will give us much more. To be thankful for those around us, to be thankful for the body of Christ that comes together. Every congregation, I think, battles this. It's amazing. I had lunch not long ago with a pastor from South Carolina. And there's a lot of division everywhere, not in South Carolina, everywhere. But when there's a need in a congregation like in East Side, everybody comes together. Brothers and sisters, it's the same up here. Because we know that in the important things, we come together and we utilize our gifts to make the body stronger, to help the body. This is something that is extremely important. You know, even like today, we go through a whole thing of having a business meeting. Maybe that's not fun. But when Jesse does the bulletins, they don't turn out so hot. He drops people off of it. His own aunt that's going through cancer, he dropped her off it. We need people that have gifts that can do these things. God empowers us all. And so he says, really, all of this comes from God, who empowers everyone. He says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. This is really what he's saying. He says, in each and every one of us, by the faith that God has given us, we reveal his goodness, the Spirit, to all people around us. Do we see the Spirit in one another? Or do we oftentimes become critical as human beings and see the negative? Jesse can often be that way. But God's word, God's Spirit, God's love brings me back to reality of saying, do you see the goodness? Because God has blessed them. And really, God has blessed you with them. You know, we were having a conversation not too long ago, a couple of us, and one of the interesting things was is, you know, we talk about different board members from that have been on and been off and things like that. And one of my board members is off now, and he was my chairman for actually quite a few years when I first got here. I won't talk about him. But he was the best chairman I've ever had. He was gifted. My chairman now is okay. But what I'm saying, he's good too, don't get me wrong. But what I'm saying is, you know, we don't always have to see eye to eye to be brothers and sisters in Christ. We're not all going to think exactly the same. But man, God can use those diversities to strengthen the whole body, that we could come together. And that's something that I pray for our congregations and the whole federation, especially with this convention coming up, that we could all see the gifts of each and every congregation, that we could have an impact. And I would pray it beyond our federation to each and every congregation in this world, that they would minister in the fields that they're called to, but we could see those differences actually help us. I really have a hard time, I suppose, like if I was to minister to a woman that lost a child, especially with a miscarriage. I am not a woman, believe it or not. In America, that's questionable, but I'm not. I've never been pregnant. I've never felt anything grow in me. But I have been through cancer. I have been through chemo. I've gone through all of that stuff. And there was an opportunity one time that someone in our community was going through cancer, and he did not want to talk to a pastor. No way. His wife wanted him to, and he wouldn't do it. And then she told him, I had cancer before. I've gone through what he's going through. He invited me over. I don't know what experiences you've been through. And I know they're real. But the truth of it is, God can use you and your gift with the struggle you've been through. Your gift is the Spirit. Your gift is the encouragement of that Spirit. But to utilize the circumstances to encourage the body. And so he says very plainly, he says that we would reveal the Spirit for the common good. And I want to say of the congregation, of the church, to the whole church universal. He says, for one is given the spirit of utterance and wisdom. In other words, to be able to proclaim and preach and teach or whatever it may be. And then there is those that have that, I would want to say in our humanness, we call it common knowledge, common sense, that have a great knowledge. I have those people in my life. There's been times that I've had a struggle within a congregation or within something, and I will go find this person, sit down on their couch, and just talk to them. They may not have the deepest theological views of everything, but they will have common sense knowledge to be able to help me walk through a situation. Do you have those gifts? Do you have those people in your life that you can receive that theological, that great preaching, that great understanding? And do you have those people where the rubber hits the road, you can sit down, have a cup of coffee, and say, this really stinks? He says, the same Spirit gives these gifts. They're valuable. He says, to another, he says, that gives faith in the same Spirit. To another, gives gifts of healing. Gifts of healing are extremely powerful. We become afraid of them because some people have abused them. But if it is necessary for healing to take place, I believe God will give it. No matter what. Even what I shared with my Aunt Philly when she was going through, she's still going through her chemo. No matter what, God will give you healing. If it'll be on this side of earth or not, I don't know. But he knows. And so far, thanks be to God, she's doing well. Treatments are going well. Philly is my aunt, but she's married to Raz's brother. That's why I bring her up with him. So now Raz's brother has become my uncle somehow. But the fact of it is, you know, God still is in the business of healing. I know he healed me for a purpose. I don't know. Sometimes I question the purpose, but I really know what it is. It's to serve him. But the fact of it is, you know, even I had an oncologist that I worked with for quite a while, Dr. El-Khatib. He was a Muslim, and he came to me and he said, I don't know how you've been healed so fast. And I said, I know. He goes, you do? I said, yes, God used your medicine and the prayers of the saints to heal me. And he looked right at me. He said, keep praying to your God. Our God is still in the healing business. But it's not on my terms. And so, he says, really, he says, you have the gift of healing by that same Spirit. He said, to another, working of miracles. I know we've seen this in our life. How many times have you been amazed that you actually made it to the end of the month with your money? How many times have you seen yourself spared from a car accident? How many times have you seen your children spared from different things? There's a lot of stories that a man could share, but we don't have time for that. But really, God is still in the miracle business. And so he says very plainly, he says, another, the prophecy, and really, yes, this isn't just about fortune telling. This isn't about just telling the future. This is also with the great understanding of proclamation, of teaching. He says, and also the ability to distinguish between the gifts. He says, there is that we would be able to distinguish. And there are people that actually are very observant that will come up to you and say, I really noticed you have the gift of encouragement. Or you have the gift of sharing the truth. Or you have the gift of hospitality. There are people that are very observant, but sometimes I think we're so busy in our lives, we don't observe other people's gifts. So the Lord has to bring it to us. He says, and there is also the various kinds of tongues. He says, in the interpretation of tongues. And this is a gift that I don't have. I don't speak in tongues. It may seem like I do at times because I don't make sense. But the reality of that's me. That's not God. The point is, I do understand and know from Scripture there is the gift of tongues, but it has a main purpose, and it is speaking between you and your Lord. And if no one's there to translate it, then what good is it? I'm not on that road. I don't understand that road. Maybe someday I will. But the point of it is, he says, and all these empowered by one, the same Spirit who apportions each and every one of us individually as he will. It is God's decision. Don't belittle the gift in a brother or sister. Don't belittle the gift that you see in another because you don't understand it. But rather, thanks God for the gift. Because can you imagine if we're all Jessies? That'd drive us nuts. Pastor Earl used to always say that. I'm not here to make little Earls. We're here to speak about the love of God, the talent that he gives each and every one of us, the many gifts that he pours out into the body so that we could be encouraged. So my final thought on this, not that it matters what my thoughts are, but if we don't speak to one another, we don't visit with one another and have fellowship with one another, how would we ever know their gift? 13 years ago, there's a lot of you that I didn't really know personally. And now today, I wonder what my life would be like without you. God has blessed us with beautiful gifts. May we be encouraged to see his love and the gifts he gives for us. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Father, we praise and we thank you, even for these teachings. Each and every teaching, Father, we know is to, for the furtherment of the gospel, that we, by the power of your Spirit, would know how loved we truly are, how to grow, and where to go. So, Father, we ask that you would allow the gifts that you've blessed each and every one of us to encourage the body around us, whether it be at home, whether it be in the public, or whether it be in the congregation. And, Father, allow that we would give you all honor and glory for these things. We ask it all in his name. Amen. Now, the Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift his countenance upon us and give us everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.